evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's program. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you for tuning in. Something's wrong with the sound in my headphones here, Kathy. It sounds kind of weird. Any way you can, or is that just my voice? Very interesting today. Driving around in the car today, I listened to the testimony coming from the Parliamentary Commission in London via CNBC. The sound was all the same on all the news stations, but I thought the CNBC commentators were a little bit more fun. I can't handle the British guy that works for CNN. I just can't. I don't know. There's something about the guy that drives me crazy. MSNBC was doing... Why am I critiquing television? Anyway, just about the point when I got in the car to run some errands and flipped on my Sirius satellite radio, the pie came. Well, not really a pie, a cardboard loaded with shaving cream. And much has been made about Murdoch's wife leaping up and batting the guy across the head that delivered the face full of shaving cream as though that was some, you know, heroic act defending her husband. She was defending her bank account. She's not defending her husband. Oh, I'm being unnecessarily cruel, I know. But the whole thing is just absolutely bizarre. And I don't mean in the sense that it shouldn't be on television. It should. I'm waiting for the American version. In this country, somebody sent me an email that Glenn Beck today on his toy radio program was laughing about the suicide of the guy named Hoare, who there's no foul play involved. The first whistleblower on this Murdoch scandal. And, of course, Beck, being the good Christian that he is, was just laughing and giggling. I can remember one time when I said on the air on this program that if Glenn Beck ever decides to commit suicide, I hope he does it on his TV show and not his radio show. And one of the cockroaches that monitors this program from the right wing immediately notified the National Suicide Prevention Center. Remember that, Kathy? So I get this email, you know, telling me, you know, I shouldn't be abdicating. You know, just going on and on and on, totally misrepresenting what I had said. The cockroach had emailed the prevention center that I had suggested that Beck commit suicide, which was not the case at all. But I just wonder if anyone in the Suicide Prevention Bureau in Washington heard the giggling and laughing about today on Beck's program. Anyway, I digress. I don't like to talk about that piece of human waste. But the guy who delivered the plate full of whipped cream had tweeted right before he smacked old Rupert in the face with whipped cream. He said he tweeted that line from Tale of Two Cities. It's a far, far better thing I do than I've ever done, blah, 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 shploop, right into Murdoch's face. I can remember reading The Tale of Two Cities in high school, and I really enjoyed it. It's one of those stories like Moby Dick. You always remember the first line of the novel. No matter how old you get, you always remember the first line. Whether it's Call Me Ishmael, or It Was the Best of Times, It Was the Worst of Times, whatever. Some novels just stay with you, especially if you read them at a very impressionable age. And the line, the man speaking that line was the lawyer who volunteered to take the place of the man that was condemned to die by the guillotine. And I just, that part also stuck with me all those years. So when the comedian, the British comedian today, tweeted, "'Tis a far, far better thing I do than I've ever done." Of course, the rest of that line is, "It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known." Because he's about to have his head lopped off. But I just found it so, I don't know what, so British? So literary, but right before a pie, so to speak, not really a pie, goes in the face of this neo-fascist, the guy tweets a line from Tale of Two Cities. I thought that was just excellent. Just excellent. Oh, my God. And I got an email from Dr. Saxman today, the guy who plays with the Count Basie Orchestra and travels around the world and sends me emails, not tweets and twits and boops and beeps, but actual emails. He sent me this today. Under the subject line of pie in the face, he writes, "Oh, Lord Jesus, your people have gone completely mad. Oh, Lordy, a pie in the face for Murdoch." And he's defended by his lovely wife. She didn't want his millions to be hurt. OMG, this is a frickin' three-ring circus. Come inside, come inside. We have a two-headed lady. Bro, you got these idiots over here ready to just let the whole country go down the tubes. First, to continue their agenda, and second, to say it happened under that N-word president. You know they want to say it. They're just dying to say it. Bro, I can't tell if I'm involved in reality, or my reality is distorted from bending my metaphysical relationship to the universe. This blank, starts with SH, has gotten deep. Ah, signed, Doc Saxman. Your people done gone completely mad. Oh, Lordy. Yeah, you're right, Dr. Saxman. You're right. You're absolutely right. Madness. Madness abounds. The dude abides, and madness abounds. The reason I have given some attention to this story is because of its link to what will eventually be exposed in this country about the Murdoch crime enterprise, the terror network disguised as a propaganda slash broadcast entity. It is nothing but a propaganda entity, but it's also a terror network. And when the pieces finally start to fall into place here, I will be gloating yet again. I have had nothing but trash talk for this Murdoch bastard and his entire organization for the past 10 years. Well, 8 years. And I cannot believe that the American public or the American regulators allow this slimeball to do what he's done to this country. There are ways of defeating a country, and one of the most insidious is to bring it down from the inside. And that is precisely what Murdoch has been about in the United States ever since he got his phony-ass citizenship in this country. If he is found, or if it's found, that there was violation of the, what is it, the corrupt... Foreign Corrupt Practices Act or something. I forget the official title. That will be reason enough to start pulling the licenses that this miserable son of a bitch has for his radio and television stations. And that, to me, will be one of the happiest days since I got my toes wet into some kind of journalism 40 years ago, 35 years ago. So, twist in the wind, Mr. Murdoch. You and your network of knaves and fools and thieves and liars and cheats eventually are going to fall in this country. You know it. It's a hell of a way to go to your grave, isn't it? I realize your mom is 22 years older than you are, pal, but it's a hell of a way to check out in disgrace. We'll be right back.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. By the way, this hour is sponsored by Matthew Maffei. Message. Going to Seattle to meet you. VIP tickets are all sold out. Hoping you will help me. Wish I could. But I have nothing to do with that, Matthew. That's sponsored by KPTK. It is KPTK AM 1090 in Seattle. Anyway, Matthew, thank you very much for the sponsorship. I love that. Going to Seattle to meet you. VIPs are sold out. Hoping you will help me out. Well, let me see. What do we got here? All right, this is from the Guardian of the UK for tomorrow's newspaper. Rupert Murdoch's News International has been found by a parliamentary committee to have deliberately, that's the words of the committee, deliberately tried to block a Scotland Yard criminal investigation into phone hacking. In the News of the World, the Guardian has learned. The report by members of Parliament from the All-Party Home Affairs Committee will be released on Wednesday, and its publication has been moved forward in time for today's statement by Prime Minister David Cameron on the scandal. Ooh, not good news. Are you going to take a swing at these people, Wendy? The report's central finding comes a day after Rupert and James Murdoch testified before the Culture, Media and Sport Committee. The Home Affairs Committee report marks an official damning judgment on News International's actions. It finds that the company deliberately tried to block the 2005-2006 Metropolitan Police, that's Scotland Yard, investigation into phone hacking carried out by the News of the World. The police investigation came at a time when Andy Coulson was editor. Coulson went on to be chosen by Cameron to be his director of communications. Goodbye, David. look for the British government to fall. Look for I shouldn't say the British government. I should say look for David Cameron's government to fall and elections to be held very quickly here. The Home Affairs Committee appears to have been convinced by evidence from senior officers who were involved in the case that News International obstructed justice. Now, that was one of the impeachable offenses that Nixon was facing before he resigned, obstruction of justice. Last week, the man who oversaw the first Scotland Yard investigation into phone hacking, Peter Clark, said, quote, if at any time News International had offered some meaningful cooperation instead of prevarication and what we know now to be lies, we would not be here today, end quote. The full report will be published Wednesday morning. So, there you go. Now, let's move to this side of the pond. All right? Let's get the son of a bitch over here. It's kind of a spectator sport to watch this corrupt family get its ass handed to it in the UK. But the damage that these people have done in this country is incalculable, as I said last night. So bring the investigation here. I just hope that Eric Holder, who doesn't seem all that thrilled about conducting an investigation or authorizing one, hope he gets off his ass and allows the proper investigative authorities to take a look at this. And stop this criminal enterprise, this terror organization, from continuing to operate in this country. It has to be stopped. This is not about freedom of the press. This is not, as Rebecca, whatever her last name is, said today in her testimony, that the British press is alive and well and across the spectrum of all sorts of opinions, points of view, yada, yada, yada. Oh, hog snot. Does that point, that's freedom of the press is the freedom to lie, the freedom to mislead, the freedom to propagandize, the freedom to commit crime, the freedom to break into people's personal lives. Is that what you're talking about, Rebecca? Well, that's what's been going on. And hopefully, One would hope, wouldn't one, that Miss Brooks and the rest of these thugs, the exposure will be so great and so vile and result in such an outroar in the UK that that country will show the United States the proper way to end these miserable bastards and send Murdoch back to wherever he came from. I'm not referring to the UK or Australia. I'm referring to the rock from under which he crawled and set up this filthy, filthy propaganda empire. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Matthew Maffei. And he has a message. I'll read it again, but sorry, Matthew. Going to Seattle to meet you. VIPs are sold out. Hoping you will help me out. Ah, I'd love to, Matt. I'd love to. Thanks for the sponsorship, pal. Ah, do-do. Oh, yeah. Where are we again? A little bit more on the Murdoch scandal. Andre writes, what a cute little version of how America deals with the powerful who break the law. This testimony before Parliament. There were some zingers, and there were the Rupert loyalists, like the neocon gal with the tweezed eyebrows, who instead of asking questions, kind of led the witness. You didn't approve of the hacking, did you? You knew nothing, didn't you? It's a colossal joke. This is the kind of thing that would bring down governments in the past. The revelations of widespread corruption, now it's all sort of glacial, like Iran-Contra, where enough time is given to clean up the mess, plug the holes before anything further comes to light. My one hope is the News Corp emails that are supposed to be leaked tomorrow. Meanwhile, Eric Holder will, quote, investigate, end quote. If he's not going to do anything about the war crimes, past and present, or the banks, then he will do nothing to punish News Corp. There'll be an investigation. Murdoch will be hauled before Congress, and some mailroom workers will go to jail. Andre. Yeah, Holder is only interested in busting pot smokers. You ever notice that? Hackers. Hackers who try to expose the criminality of government. What else we got? I got this late today from Steve. I'm going to share it with you. It's to KTLK and KFPK hosts. I guess I fit in that KTLK group. Once again, the Israeli Navy has kidnapped flotilla passengers in international waters with a blatant disregard for international law and common morality, an act of flagrant oppression of the Palestinian people's will and the right to a free and normally functioning society and economy. The good news is that this year the Israeli government has managed to control the members of their murderous military, and the Israeli Navy has restrained, was restrained from opening fire with machine guns at the flotilla ship and its passengers. The French ship Dignity is now being held in an Israeli port, and the kidnapped passengers that had been on board are being forced to sign papers saying they had illegally entered into Israel. The flotilla organizers have been using similar tactics to those of the civil rights freedom bus riders that took place in America during the 1960s. Freedom flotilla and freedom rider activists had to face deadly violence, bus burning, sabotage, illegal detentions, and state-sponsored harassment. In 2010, the International Committee of the Red Cross, the ICRC, had described Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip as a violation of the Geneva Conventions and called on the Israeli government to lift it. The ICRC has called the blockade, quote, collective punishment, end quote, a crime under international law. It described Gaza as a territory plagued by frequent power cuts, a ruined economy, and a collapsed healthcare system. The report said, quote, Gazans continue to suffer from unemployment, poverty, and warfare, while the quality of Gaza's healthcare system has reached an all-time low, end quote. I've attached some news articles about Israelis pirating of the French ship Dignity and the shameless and illegal abduction of its crew on the high seas. The Freedom Flotilla is not over, and other ships are still attempting to leave Greek ports and make their way to Gaza. If you would like to direct your listeners to a website so they can make a contribution to the U.S. flotilla activists, please send them to the U.S. to Gaza website. It is ustogaza.org, ustogaza.org. The remaining crew members of the U.S. ship is made up of women, and they are desperately trying to fend off the various harassments that have been perpetrated by the Greek and Israeli governments. The ship's power has been cut off, and they have been subjected to extremely loud noise. They must also be on constant lookout for divers that may be attempting to sabotage the ship from below. A crew member must stay on board at all times. Today, Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, reported that Israel is prohibiting its citizens from organizing boycotts of Israel, a move that has been described by some in that country as fascist, and Israel is continuing to expand new settlements into Palestine territory. I will have some updates about other related stories soon. It may be difficult to report on some of these flotilla stories without being labeled as a Jew hater, but I will be sending you some footage of Israeli soldiers shooting unarmed international protesters on separate occasions near the Israeli border. One protester was hit with a bullet in her leg, and others have been killed. If you get hate mail from your listeners because you are reporting the truth, then I suggest that you post the footage of the Israeli soldiers shooting at and wounding peaceful demonstrators and retell some of the atrocities that the Israeli government has perpetrated. And then he encloses a YouTube. I will send you other video links and important updates when I get them from members of the KTLK fan club. Yeah. Signed, Steve P. The Murdoch story for me has pretty much blown a lot of important stuff off the radar scope right now. And again, it is because I just think it's critical. Do you not agree that in order for people to be able to govern themselves, whether it's a parliamentary system, an electoral system such as the one we have, or other forms of self-governance. I'm not talking about anything but self-governance. That there must be a free flow of truthful information, whether it is political, economic, military. It doesn't make any difference. There has to be. This is what WikiLeaks is all about. This is why Bradley Manning is in prison. This is why the attempt to assassinate, in any way you want to take that word, Julian Assange continues. This is why there is such a broad spectrum of criticism of WikiLeaks. Although, news organizations as diverse as The Nation, The New York Times, The Washington Post, papers around the world continue to publish some of the information provided in these leaked State Department cables, leaked at the WikiLeaks website. So the reason the Murdoch story to me is critical is that we are very close to an end, a complete end, a screeching halt to any form of representative self-government. You know that as well as I do. This is not a news flash. This is not breaking news. There has been a systematic erosion that continues of the ability or the wherewithal for people to make informed decisions and elect their leaders. This is orchestrated by predatory capitalists, if that term is not unnecessarily repetitious, predatory capitalists globally, of whom Rupert Murdoch is just one example, who are absolutely determined to stop any chance of those being governed in various countries from governing themselves. Predatory capitalism has one goal, and that is a return to the feudal state that was represented in this country by slavery. It was represented in the UK. It's been represented in every country. It was something that human beings fought against and tried to evolve from. So the Murdoch story to me is critical because it is a direct, frontal assault, no holds barred. I don't give a goddamn how many pies go into this creepy bastard's face. I don't care how much whining and hand-wringing there is about Murdoch representing the press. Therefore, he is off limits. That is horse crap, and you know it's horse crap. These people are out to destroy the few remaining shreds of democratic government that's available. I say to the gallows with these bastards. That's what I say. So the story has caught my attention. If you're wondering why I'm talking about this and not this clownish farce going on in Washington, it's because I see the Murdoch story as a much greater threat to self-governance than these bunch of half-ass bastards running around in Washington. For the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Matthew Maffei, who is coming to Seattle to meet me and is concerned because the VIP tickets are all sold out now. And Matthew was hoping that I would help him out. I'm sorry, Matthew, but thanks for the sponsorship. You're a prince. Michelle Bachmann. There are allegations that she is addicted to pills, heavy pill usage. That would explain a lot. Because she gets very severe, I think it started out with severe headaches, just like with the pig man. It started out, so he says, with the back problems. But in July, last July, Bachmann's then communications director, Dave Ziyok, told his boss that he planned to take a new job with the public relations firm Edelman. This is according to the dailycaller.com. Zayach had worked for Bachman for 2.5 years, relatively long period by the standards of her office, and was leaving on good terms. Staff turnover can frustrate any employer, of course, but Bachman responded more dramatically. Zayach's departure triggered a debilitating medical episode that landed Bachman in urgent care. A former aide says, quote, within 24 hours she was in the hospital, end quote. Bachman was admitted to a Washington, D.C. hospital on Friday, July 30th, and released the same day. She flew home to Minnesota to recuperate, missing a scheduled campaign event. Zayach told reporters at the time, it's nothing to worry about going forward, refusing to specify why Bachman had been hospitalized. It was, according to three people who have worked closely with Bachman, not an isolated event. She frequently suffers from stress-induced medical episodes that she has characterized as severe headaches. These episodes, according to witnesses, occur once a week on average and can, quote, incapacitate, end quote, her for days at a time. On at least three occasions, Bachman has landed in the hospital as a result. According to an advisor to Bachman who was involved in her congressional campaign last year, quote, she has terrible migraines, and they put her out of commission for a day or more at a time. They come out of nowhere. They're unpredictable. They level her. They put her down. It's actually sad, end quote. Bachman's medical condition wouldn't merit public attention except for the fact she's running for president. Some close to Bachman say she won't be equal to the stress of the campaign, much less the presidency itself. This advisor, who remains anonymous, says, quote, when she gets them, frankly, she can't function at all. It's not like a little thing. With a couple of Advils, it's bad. The migraines are intense. She carries and takes all sorts of pills, prevention pills, pills during the migraine, pills after the migraine. She has to take these pills wherever she goes. I'm not laughing at her headaches. I know migraines are awful. Alice Stewart, a spokeswoman for Bachman, said, quote, she suffers from migraines and they're under control with medicine. Blah, 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 blah. On the evening of May 13th last year, Bachman flew to L.A. for a series of political and fundraising events. In part because of complications with her flight schedule, her mood plunged. During the entire six-hour flight, she was desperately sick from headaches. Her husband met his wife at LAX and ushered her to a nearby urgent care center. She stayed sick throughout the weekend. In October last year, Bachman fell apart at a Greenwich, Connecticut fundraiser. She was put in bed at the fundraiser's home, later checked into an urgent care facility near LaGuardia. In February 2006, Bachman checked into the hospital for what press release called an appendicitis attack. A particular concern to some around her is the significant amount of medication Bachman takes to address her conditions. Former aide says Bachman's congressional staff is constantly in contact with her doctors to tweak the types and amounts of medicine she's taking. Marcus Bachman, her husband, helps her manage the episodes. Sources who spoke to the Daily Caller said they did so because they are terrified about the impact the condition could have on Bachman's performance if she actually became president. They also worry that the issue could blow up in the general election, giving President Obama an easy path to re-election. Two sources independently provided detailed accounts of Bachman's condition. And so now the it sheds some light to me on her behavior. I think she's a very creepy woman. The thousand-yard stares that she has, the inability to look into a camera when she's delivering a Republican response to the State of the Union address. I mean, just everything about this woman, but is off kilter. It's weird. The fact that she is a heavy pill popper, I think most people in this country who understand migraines know that there really is not a drug that stops them or cures them. As a matter of fact, I don't think migraines are even that well understood. about the only thing you can do with a migraine once it begins is to isolate yourself, be very quiet in a dark room, and take massive amounts of painkillers. Massive amounts of painkillers like OxyContin or, what's the other one, Kathy? Vicodin. OxyContin. Massive amounts. We'll be back after the break. Actually the sponsor of the next hour too, so I think this message that goes in the third hour probably applies here in the second. Tim's message: let's push for term limits for our legislators. Maybe this would cause them to govern rather than to continually campaign. The founding fathers did not contemplate a non-productive gravy train. Tim McCauley is our sponsor this hour. Thank you, Tim. Tim from L.A., writes about the pain-popping president. Tim from L.A. writes, since Michelle is receiving top-notch care for her migraine at the expense of taxpayers, I wonder why she's so adamant against single-payer care when we collectively pay for her urgent care. Yeah, I'm sure she gets it on her insurance that all members of Congress have that you and I pay for. Michelle Bachmann, one of the biggest ass hypocrites ever to run for anything. God, I hate hypocrites. Worse than liars. Well, that's close. I don't know. And regarding her migraines, Michael in Roswell writes, if it was Bachmann referring to anyone else with a similar problem, I bet that she would say that there was some sort of demonic possession involved. Probably so. Regarding the French ship that has been intercepted on the high seas. When the Somali pirates do this, we go kill them, or we attempt to kill them. You know, anywhere in the Indian Ocean where the Somali pirates can intercept ships on the high seas, private vessels, commercial vessels, what have you. The Israelis can act with impunity. we do not launch drone airstrikes into downtown Tel Aviv as a result of piracy on the high seas committed by the Israelis. We do launch drone airstrikes into various countries and cities around the Red Sea and the Horn of Africa when pirates operate that are not Israelis. What the Israelis are doing is clearly an act of piracy. Now, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz has one of their reporters, Amira or Amira Haas, on board one of the ships. And if you want to read an Israeli perspective, granted, it is an Israeli perspective that is of the Israeli left, which means they believe in the rights of the Palestinians to self-determination, rather than the fascist attitude that the Israeli government in general and the Likudnik in particular have perpetrated against the Palestinians. If you want that point of view, go to Haaretz.com. I believe it's Haaretz.com. That's Haaretz, Haaretz.com. I may get to that tomorrow. From someone who's really desperate in Phoenix. Greetings, Michael. I'm at my wit's end. I realize you're not a psychological help radio show, but how do you keep Republicans from coming around on your property? They constantly come to the door with their petitions or their attempts to register me as a Republican. I can't get rid of them. Some are those bogus Christian religious freaks, too. I've even thought of rubbing Preparation H on them, hoping they will shrivel up and disappear. Maybe I could wear garlic around my neck and string it across the doorway. For good measure, I could sprinkle salt around the perimeter of my property in hopes of warding them off. If I constructed a giant voodoo doll of Michelle Bachmann on my front lawn and drove stakes in it, hoping to scare them away, they would probably have me arrested for terrorism. I'm generally not rude to people. I don't swear at them or pull my magnum on people. I guess you mean your gun, your handgun. But this is becoming extremely aggravating. Guess I'm just desperate at this point and willing to try anything. Telling them no just doesn't seem to work. They just send someone else the next time. Signed, really desperate in Phoenix. Well, I don't know. The best way to... I think the garlic might be a good one. Or if you... remember those quaint little signs? When I was in high school, I used to sell magazines door-to-door. And I would... My crew chief always used to tell me, always go up to the door that says, no solicitors allowed. And I said, what? Why? He says, because it means they have no sales resistance. That's the only reason they put the sign out. Well, he was crazier than a loon, but he was also a drunk and a, you know, pill popper himself. But, and I was just a kid. But instead of putting a sign out that says no Republicans or Christian zealots allowed, go to a novelty store and buy one of those rubber, those fake hair-covered dead rats, one of the big ones. You know, novelty stuff, made in China. And hang it somewhere near your front door. Just hang it. If you have an overhang on your porch or your stoop, just hang this huge rat. And that should do it. That should do it. You think? I knew nothing about phone hacking. So saith Rupert Murdoch and his son James. James, who as News Corp Deputy Chief Operating Officer overseas News International, added that the legal advice he was given regarding legal fees paid to people who had to sue News of the World, that those were customary. You know, this is going to turn out to be, and I think it's already shown itself to be, one of those cases, whether it's Rebecca Brooks or the Murdochs or whoever it is, the inability to understand what possible wrong they have committed, why they are being charged with these crimes, why they are being arrested, why they are being asked to testify before parliamentary committees. The Murdoch family operates on an entirely different planetary elevation where it concerns the mundane little stupid-ass laws and rules that most of us have to abide by. When I say most of us, I don't mean their counterparts in this country. Capitalists do not abide by rules at all. And for those of you who are raising your hands and want to say Bernie Madoff, I just say Bernie Madoff was not a capitalist. He was a scammer. he set up a Ponzi scheme, kind of like the people who run Amway. But capitalists, corporatists, they operate outside the law, always have, always will, you know, until the day that they are brought before the Lord High Executioner.
He's crawling in the dirt, and for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt.
Because liberal is a good word. It's More Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 22 past the hour. We, I think after the next break, we will open up the phone lines for your comments. From Jim in Vancouver, he writes, like imprisonment and murder, manufacturing the news and manipulating public opinion is a government prerogative. For Fox News, who have gotten away with manufacturing right-wing news for so long, it has had to have had behind-the-scenes sanctions and agreements. Let the public outrage continue, because in the end, public outrage has been ineffectual in curbing its excesses and hasn't really affected the machinery. Until now, no one has really looked behind the scenes to expose the secret deals that have allowed this thing to flourish. Correction. Anyone who dared to expose the connections has been branded a conspiracy nut and marginalized or otherwise neutralized. The situation now is that in the UK it has become a public spectacle. And through the exposing of just one or two of the more emotionally loaded of the illegalities has triggered a public outrage. You'll note that all this behind the scenes illegality was long known over there, but nobody cared. At least until News Corp passed some unwritten line in the sand. Given this, it is entirely possible that in regards to the investigations now beginning over here in the States, public apathy and officials' fear of being exposed will successfully squash any real attempt to bring his U.S. operations down. I would guess that in the case of some of the illegalities, there will be some legal technicalities that will derail prosecution. Fox has too many powerful friends for it to quietly crumble. Look for a lot of smearing with government sanctions and other official actions to make the investigations go away. This will be a perfect opportunity to observe surreptitious damage control methodology in action. You'll also note that nowhere in the coverage of U.S. News Corp operations is it mentioned, or even slightly hinted at, that there has ever been any sort of official government sanctions given to the whole Ailes-Murdoch operation. That void in the speculation, that very lack, is in itself a red flag that active damage control is at work. Lots of connections to high government officials, but absolutely no hint or even any insinuation at all that any of the political officials who benefited substantially from the Murdoch-Ailes operation have done anything at all to grease the wheels and provide behind-the-scenes legal support. Remember, the coins may be dropped into the tin cup of the shuffling monkey, but they end up in the organ grinder's pocket. Jim in Vancouver. I hope you're not right. Reg, our friend at TVNewsLies.org, more or less suggested the same thing in an email this evening. And I wrote back to her and said, I hope for once that you're wrong. I hope this comes crashing down. Jim writes, Fox has too many powerful friends for it to quietly crumble. Well, my God, look in the UK. I mean, they had the prime minister, the equivalent almost of the president of the U.S., had the prime minister of the U.K. I hope that you're wrong also, Jim, just like I wrote to Reg. You know, I understand where you're coming from. Oh, clearly, perfectly. And both of you probably will be right when the smoke clears of any investigations here. I think the smoking gun, if that term hasn't been way overused, is if there is proof, and that proof is made public, that these rumors that are starting to surface, that these pigs, these filthy bastards at the Fox News Channel and Corporation and the Post and the Journal, all these, that they hacked into the phones of 9/11 victims. If that turns out to be something that actually happened, that provides cover to all the politicians that these filthy sons of bitches at the Murdoch terror organization who have benefited from Murdoch and his propaganda operation, that gives them the cover to step out and say, well, yes, I had some dealings, but Jesus, not this.
And they battled for the pride, and they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll...
is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before
He can see the sky.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble just and obedient servant, Mike Malloy. Must
one man yeah, it is. 25 past the, or before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Timothy McCauley, whose message, let's push for term limits for our legislators. Maybe this would cause them to govern rather than to continually campaign. Founding fathers did not contemplate a non-productive gravy train for these people. Thanks, Timothy. A couple of people have emailed me now about the recall election. There were three or four, I believe, Democrats that the Republicans are trying to recall. And this first one, Dave Hansen, the incumbent, has handily defeated by 2-1 the Republican cockroach that was trying to unseat him. I think next week will be the Republicans' turn, and we will see how that goes. All right, where was I? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk with Jeremy in Burlington, Vermont. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. Just calling because I saw today some of the testimony of Rupert Murdoch and his son. And I felt it was a shame that he laughed at some of their questions, almost like they couldn't be serious in what they were asking him.
Mm-hmm.
But on the same hand, I found it comical that a couple of guys actually told his son basically to shut the hell up and we'll talk to you when we want to talk to you.
Yeah, really.
And the fact that I also noticed that last week when this story was really starting to bubble up, the only thing Fox News wanted to cover that day was this new law that they're going to teach the history of gays in California. That was their big surprise and oh my God moment.
Yeah, I know. I haven't watched Fox because, you know, you stare into the abyss and eventually the abyss stares into you. But I'm curious as to how the Fox News Channel is handling this thing, especially somebody like O'Reilly, who is just an absolute ass kisser, no matter who he works for. And I just wonder how Fox is handling this.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't know either. I just know one of my friends posted the link about this on Facebook, and I went after them for it. Like I said, really? Seriously?
Yeah, right. It must be very difficult when you work for a terror organization to pretend like you're working for a news organization. It must be very difficult. But I guess if the money is right, there are certain people who can do it anyway.
Exactly. I guess if the money is right, you'll do whatever you're told.
Hmm.
Doesn't mean you have a soul, but you'll do what you're told.
That's true. Jeremy, thanks for checking in.
Sure.
All right, take care. Well, if you want to call in, the number is 877-996-2556. Mitt Romney is really losing his mind. You know, kind of a... I think Mitt Romney is the type of politician. He's very handsome. He was very center-left when he was the governor of Massachusetts. He has raised mediocrity to an art form, obviously. If you pushed and probed into Mitt Romney, there probably wouldn't be very much there to offer up resistance. In other words, he would have made a perfect Republican nominee for president. He may still get it. But Romney is, like so many Republicans, has decided to cast his lot with these satanic cult worshipers of the so-called teabag faction. Now, according to SeattlePI.com, the blog from the PostIntelligencer.com, Romney is saying that carbon dioxide is not a harmful pollutant and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency should not be regulating carbon emissions into the atmosphere. He said that yesterday in New Hampshire. You know, the conservative Republicans have always looked at Romney askance, and rightly so, because, like I said, he's a center-left Republican, the kind of Republican that used to define the Republican Party seriously. But the right-wing Christian crazies in the Republican Party, the global warming deniers, got very pissed off at Romney because he said that climate change is real and that human activities contribute to it. You see, when the Bible is your touchstone for everything that you believe in, politics, science, wealth, greed, filth, rape, incest, suppression of women, you know, all that good stuff that fundamentalist Christians just devour, then you don't dare make a statement like Romney did that there is science behind global warming. And yes, it is occurring. And yes, it is in part caused by humans. You don't dare do that because it's not in the Bible. It's very simple. Well, Romney is starting to backtrack. At an appearance in Derry, New Hampshire, he was asked, will you continue to support the EPA's air quality standards that will protect all Americans from the burning of coal? And Romney replied that, yeah, well, the country should keep our air and water clean, and that America does not want pollutants that are interfering with our health and damaging the ability of our children to enjoy good health. But then he said, do I support the EPA? In some of its missions, no. The EPA is getting into carbon footprints, and I think we may have made a mistake. He went on to say, we have made a mistake, is what I believe, in saying that the EPA should regulate carbon emissions. I don't think carbon is a pollutant in the sense of harming our bodies. Well, okay, maybe not directly, you weasel bastard, but what about if it is directly involved in raising the temperature of the earth? Would you, oh my God, I don't think carbon is a pollutant in the sense of harming our bodies. Tell you what, Mitt, let me fill up a room with carbon dioxide and put you in there and see how long before you say, yeah, it's causing me to thud. Huh? Now, this new position is a reversal from when Romney was the center-left governor of Massachusetts. He wrote a climate protection plan back then acknowledging that carbon dioxide causes, not a contributing factor, causes pollution. A report from the state's Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection stated, quote, while CO2 is non-toxic, the warming effects cause hotter weather with most frequent and severe heat waves, posing multiple health risks that include a rise in heat-related deaths, more frequent periods of harmful outdoor air quality, and the spread of certain diseases. In the same report, Romney called for regulation of carbon emissions. He said, quote, many of the policies will not be easy to implement. The benefits will be long-lasting and enormous. Benefits to our health, our economy, our quality of life, our very landscape, end quote. Now, when he was elected governor in 2002, remember, Romney was, what's a social moderate? No, he was a center-left Republican on issues like abortion and gay rights and so on and so forth. Of course, the issue is not abortion. The issue is a woman's right to privacy. He was a moderate. And when he ran for president in 2008, all of a sudden, women were available for him to sacrifice in front of these right-wing Republican bastards. A woman's right to privacy all of a sudden became something that he was not the least bit interested in. No, women do not have a right to privacy. Okay, here's one for you. News Corporation is firing Rupert Murdoch. This just broke. The American Board of News Corporation, the parent company of News International, decided to replace Rupert Murdoch as the CEO of his own media empire. The decision has been made over fears that the 80-year-old tycoon would not be able to ward off attacks over an avalanche of revelations within his UK newspaper empire. According to Bloomberg Business News Agency, the chief operating officer in the U.S., Chase Carey, will take over from Murdoch. Leading Murdoch as just the chairman. Family friends said Murdoch is struggling to cope with the revelations about the phone hacking scandal. Oh, stop it. If true, it would be the biggest scalp so far in a crisis that has claimed the jobs of Chief of Police Sir Paul Stevenson of Scotland Yard, UK's counterterrorism chief John Yates, and so on and so on. Well, we'll see. This is just now hitting the wires. We'll be right back.
Seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Timothy McCauley. Thanks, Tim, who will also be sponsoring the next hour. Appreciate it. Susan in Sunny Squim.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Susan.
I didn't have an issue tonight. I just wanted to call up and wish you and your family a safe journey out here to the left coast.
Okay, thank you.
I have a VIP ticket, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
Absolutely. That'll be a hoot.
And everybody out here is really excited to see you coming our way again. And
yeah, it's always fun to come to this event that AM 1090 puts on every summer. I
tried to get to it last year and I couldn't, and I'm really excited about going to it this year.
Yeah, you heard who's going to be there.
Dennis Kucinich is going to be
Dennis
there,
Kucinich.
Too.
Dennis Kucinich. And isn't there some other...
Ron Reagan is going to be there.
Yeah, well, he's usually there on the panel. But I'm just looking through the glass here at Kathy. I thought there was somebody else, a surprise guest, but she's shaking her head. So
I don't think so. I think Dennis was the big surprise. And also, I wanted to say one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, almost a year ago, I had the good fortune to win a podcast trivia. And I've been enjoying it for the entire year. And I just wanted to speak out to all the other people that won over this past year, probably close to 50 of them, that, you know, when it comes due again, why not renew? I won on my birthday, so I'm going to treat myself to a birthday present of buying one for the next year.
Oh, thank you.
And I think everybody should do that once they got their free sample, because it was really great.
Well, Grant, well, thank you for the commercial. I appreciate that. That's very nice, Susan.
We'll see you Saturday. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, you know, Kathy and Molly are coming this time, too.
I know. I'm excited. I'm bringing my camera.
Great. We'll look for you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Susan, take care.
She's bringing a camera. I'm bringing my Spanx.
Oh, yeah.
Last time someone said, you know, I said, well, the camera adds 10 pounds. And they said, well, how many cameras were on you?
No, stop. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Miss Skin and Bones here.
Not anymore.
Now, I just got this. Who just sent this to me? This freakish Alan West, this first-term Republican from South Florida, went off on Debbie Wasserman, the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee. I'll do this next hour. Somebody better grab Alan West by the back of the neck and tell him that he's He's not in the military anymore. He ought to shut his goddamn mouth and learn how to play by the rules. I hate these teabaggers. I don't care what gender they are, what race they are, what their sexual preference is. I hate them. They are scum. And Alan West is another example. Just another example. Who sent this to me, Zach? Wow. Woo! The language, Zach. Another class act from Alan West. What a blank blanking, blanky blanking, blank blanker. and then the link. Oh my Lord. But you're absolutely right. Yes indeed, yes indeed, yes indeed. Is it Papantonio who's gonna be there? Is Mike Papantonio gonna be there? He must be the other one that I was thinking about. I think Papantonio is going to be there because he's never been there before. Yeah, I think it's Pap. So it should be, we should have a real, just an ass-kicking poker game when the gig is over. Woohoo! Well, nobody in that crew does drugs or drink. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, never mind. No, they don't. They really don't. I almost said they don't do drugs or drink. By drugs, I mean, you know, smoke a joint. None of those people do. But they sure as hell can put down the beers and the wine. And it's a lot of fun hanging out with them. I really enjoy that. So, yeah, if you're going to be there Saturday night at the Showwear Center, just outside Seattle. What? Where is it, Kathy? What's the town? Kent, Washington. Kent. It's a nice venue too. So we'll see you there. I hope. Michael is in San Francisco, listening on Green 960. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for the show. I'm agreeing with you. I think I heard you say before that that the U.S. pals won't let anything really get rolling against the Murdoch.
Well, that's what two of my emailers said, and I hope they're wrong.
I do too, but I think it's only to save their own hides because I think they've done so much to get positive press coverage mm-hmm. from Fox, or at least to be left alone by them, that they'd be. They'd be implicating themselves in some pretty nasty stuff. And so I don't think they're going to let anything get rolling. I'm going to issue a challenge to good old Nancy Pelosi, a minority leader, and ask her to reveal all members of the names of all members of the House who have accepted contributions from Murdoch or the Fox mm-hmm. organization. And it would be interesting if she polices Wiener right out of the House, which maybe or maybe not she should have done. But in this situation, she won't even respond.
Probably not, Michael.
No, no. Mike, very quickly, I saw Brian Wilson last night, the anti-war activist, and a gentleman who's really come out with a what I call a graduated vision of what it's all about. In Berkeley, he gave a talk last night.
Hey, hold on a second, Michael, if you don't mind. Because I want to hear the rest of that story, but I've got to get out of the way here at the top of the hour program break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Tim McCauley. He has a message. Let's push for term limits for our legislators. Maybe this would cause them to govern rather than to continually campaign. The Founding Fathers did not contemplate a non-productive gravy train. The Founding Fathers also did not contemplate any benefit with the political party system either, you know? Thanks, Tim. Back to Michael in San Francisco. All right, you were talking about Brian Wilson.
Yeah, Mike. Just
so people know, you're not referring to the writer for the Beach Boys.
No, not the Beach Boy person, not the San Francisco Giants reliever.
Right.
but the Brian Wilson, with two L's for Wilson, and anti-war activist a long time,
mm-hmm.
and now a person who's very much talking about getting ready for the changes within and without that are going to have to happen if we're going to save anything. And he talked about that, the changes that he thinks are imminent, and because of the tremendous greed and the tremendous waywardness of this society, let's say, and it's militarism and it's greed. And he talked about the moment in Vietnam when he walked through a village after it had been bombed and strafed and everything else, and he saw a woman with her face the skin blown off her face and her eyelids blown away, and he looked saw her eyes, and he said he was a little boy all involved with sports and being a Republican, raised a Republican and a capitalist in upstate New York, and all of a sudden he had a eureka experience, and he said, this woman is my sister.
Hmm.
And he said, what we're doing here is insanity. Mm-hmm. We're killing and maiming and just to be able to grab their resources and take their land away from them to protect the American way of life and to protect American interests.
Mm-hmm.
And we're using pretty much the same after 9/11 we're going about in these preemptive attacks, these strolls out into the world to take whatever we want, claiming it's protecting the American way of life and making us safer when anything could be further from the truth.
Right.
And I think it's something to contemplate and then act on. Most Americans don't even want to take a look at it. But he did mention, as I've been thinking recently a great deal, of how complicit our wonderful thugs and crooks and, I don't know what else to say, prostitutes in Congress are doing practically every day of dressing up this war and making it seem something noble and worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
It's just absolutely insanity. I should end there, but anyway, he's come out with a new book. I've actually forgotten the name, but it's a book. It went through 33 publishers before AM or PM Press decided to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
AM might be AM Press, but I've forgotten the title already, but it's a wonderful book. I paged through it, and he talked about it a bit.
Okay. Brian Wilson's
anyway,
new book.
I thought it was great, and Brian Wilson is somebody worth reading and listening to.
All right. Well,
thanks,
thanks for the heads up, Michael.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Take care. Alan West is a psychopath. And as I have here in front of me, who wrote this? He was caught torturing unarmed handcuffed detainee in Iraq. He was charged with conduct unbecoming an officer. He was found guilty and fined $5,000 and asked to leave the military. While serving in Taji, Iraq, West received information from an intelligence specialist about an alleged plot to ambush him and his men. The alleged plot reportedly involved Yahya Jadri Hamoudi, a civilian Iraqi police officer. West, who was not responsible for conducting interrogations in Iraq and had never conducted or witnessed one, had his men grab Hamoudi. In the process of detaining Mr. Hamoudi, soldiers testified that Hamoudi appeared to go for his weapon and needed to be subdued. Remember, he's a cop. Hamoudi was beaten by four of West's soldiers from the 220th Field Artillery Battalion on the head and body. West then fired his pistol near Hamoudi's head. Hammoudi provided West with names and information, what Hammoudi later described as meaningless information induced by fear and pain. At least one suspect was arrested as a result, but no plans for attacks or weapons were ever found. West said, quote, at the time I had to base my decision on the intelligence I received. It's possible that I was wrong about Mr. Hammoudi. West was charged with violating Articles 128, assault, and 134, general article, of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. During a hearing held as part of an Article 32 investigation in November 2003, West stated, quote, I know the method I used was not right, but I wanted to take care of my soldiers, end quote. The charges were ultimately referred to an Article 15 proceeding rather than court-martial, at which West was fined $5,000. Lieutenant Colonel West accepted the judgment and retired with full benefits in the summer of 2004. After Colonel West was relieved of his command, an interpreter employed by a private contractor said that without his presence, the region he previously oversaw became more dangerous and chaotic. So the Colonel West, who is now Representative West from South Florida, sent an email today that called a colleague in the U.S. House, a Democrat, vile, despicable, and cowardly after she called into question West's position on Medicare during the debate over a spending cap and balanced budget bill before the House. He sent the email to numerous lawmakers as well as his target, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a Democrat of Florida, the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee. The subject line in Alan West's email was, quote, unprofessional and inappropriate sophomoric behavior from Wasserman Schultz, end quote. The email said, quote, look, Debbie, I understand that after I departed the House floor, you directed your floor speech comments directly toward me. Let me make myself perfectly clear. You want a personal fight, I am happy to oblige. You are the most vile, unprofessional, and despicable member of the U.S. House of Representatives. If you have something to say to me, stop being a coward and say it to my face. Otherwise, shut the blank up. End quote. In her remarks on the House floor, that this pig West is referring to, Wasserman Schultz said, quote, the gentleman from Florida who represents thousands of Medicare beneficiaries, as I do, is supportive of this plan that would increase costs for Medicare beneficiaries. Unbelievable from a member from South Florida, end quote. That's what she said. In his email, West said, Debbie Wasserman Schultz had proven, quote, that you are not a lady, and, quote, shall not be afforded the due respect from me. He said he was alerting House leaders to her, quote, heinous, characterless behavior, end quote. A spokesman for Wasserman Schultz said in an email of his own, quote, I don't think that Congressman West is upset at the Congresswoman, but rather with the fact that she highlighted that he and other Republicans are once again trying to balance the budget on the backs of seniors, children, and the middle class. The truth hurts, end quote. A spokeswoman for Alan West said Wasserman Schultz had taken, quote, another cowardly cheap shot at Congressman West, end quote. You crybaby son of a bitch, Alan West. You crybaby little punk.
Misinformation follows like a plague. Nobody knew from time to time if the plans were changed. Oh, 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 if the plans were changed.
Progressive Talk. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, the book is Blood on the Tracks that our last caller was talking about. James in Eugene, Oregon, and Michael in Roswell emailed about the same time. James writes, the book has to do with the 1987 protest when he put his body in the path of a train, which didn't stop for him. Like the student who put her life in front of the Israeli Caterpillar tractor a decade ago. Yeah, that was Rachel Corey. And Michael writes, Wilson is the veteran whose legs were severed when he was run over by a train carrying war material. So I suspect the title refers to how that experience affected his attitudes about activism. Blood on the Tracks. That was Bob Dylan's album, wasn't it? Hi. Okay, back to your calls. Paul is in Canton, Georgia. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Okay, I got three quick things for you.
Okay.
First of all, raising the debt limit, letting Obama do it on his own.
Uh-huh.
I think that's just a scheme by the Republicans to, in the future, cut Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare, if they can just use and say, well, Obama did it before, we're going to go the other way and just cut things instead of raising the debt limit to balance the budget.
I wouldn't be surprised, although that's in violation, isn't it, of the Constitution? I mean, the debt limit, the debt limit is written into this, you know, this famous, what is it, Article 14, that the President of the United States must pay all debts incurred by the United States government. That was written into the original document. So I don't understand all this talk about debt ceiling. I seriously do not. But let's go ahead and stipulate that this is just political horse crap. I don't see, though, how a future Republican president could, by executive order, just start cutting things.
Yeah, well, I just think that that's what their ploy is. That's the reason they're willing to give it
out. I'm sure if there's a way, they'll figure it out.
Right. second topic real quick is that with regard response to West, it's funny that he says she didn't say it to his face when he could have been at work listening to her speech.
Right.
He turns around, instead of saying it to her face, sends an email out.
Right, right.
Showing how cowardly he is.
Yeah, he is just, you know, this guy is really, I hate to say this, but he looks to me like someone who has the potential to walk into a school cafeteria at lunch and open fire with multiple weapons. He really does look like a borderline psycho who's about to go off.
And my last quick thing is that Jeremy Scahill, who wrote the book about Blackwater,
right,
from The Nation,
mm-hmm,
has a story about a secret site in Somalia now, where you can see from the airport in Mogadishu where the CIA is running it.
Yeah.
They're paying the Somali intelligence to interrogate al-Shabaab fighters about $200 a month. But even people in the, you know, general on the street know that the place is there. It's not really a secret, but it's only a secret for people back here in the States.
Yeah.
They're running this facility there now.
Yeah, it's and you got to wonder about what it was that the people who voted for Obama were really voting for.
Exactly.
You know?
The same policy.
I feel like such a damn fool because he was the backup candidate. You know, I went Kucinich, John Edwards, God help me, Obama, and wound up with Obama. I will not do that again.
Well, he was stuck like everyone else. You either had to vote for him, not vote, which is essentially voting for McCain. Then.
Right.
It couldn't happen, so. You know,
yeah.
He got stuck. That's what happened to me, too.
All right. Well, thanks, Paul.
Yep. Have a good night.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Reed is in Santa Fe listening on KTRC. Hello, Reed.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Nice to hear you sounding a little more cheerful than usual with Rupert Murdoch's downfall.
Yeah, well, one gets one's up moments where one can. Hey, Reed, can you hold on? I took your call, and I got to do commercials, and we'll come right back and pick you up. Is that all right?
Of course.
Okay, let me put you on hold because we have a break coming here in 15 seconds, and then we'll come back. Oh, yeah. I want to get to this. All right. Oh, and remember David Swanson, afterdowningstreet.org, that is now called warisacrime.org. He has five reasons to impeach Obama. If you're an Obama supporter, you're not going to like this one. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
She read the magazine and the moon rose over and field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to report.
Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
He watches these things so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Tim McCauley. Tim's message, let's push for term limits for our legislators. Maybe this would cause them to govern rather than to continually campaign. The Founding Fathers did not contemplate a non-productive gravy train. Thanks, Tim. Back to Reed in Santa Fe. Okay.
Hi, I'm back.
Okay, Reed.
So from the first report that I ever heard about a News Corp's affiliate being connected to this illegally accessing information in the UK, I had the suspicion that it would connect to an older story. And tonight you talked about hacking and you talked about global warming.
Uh-huh.
And you remember about a year and a half ago, some emails were stolen.
Oh, yeah.
The climatic research unit.
Right.
What do you want to bet that Uncle Rupert Murdoch's organization doesn't have something to do with that?
Absolutely. Good point. Good point. It's hard to connect the dots because there are so many people now who have figured out how to eavesdrop and hack and steal and invade. I mean, Jesus God, the U.S. government does it. So
right.
It is hard to remember all this stuff, but you're right. That was researchers in university in Leeds, England, or somewhere.
I don't know the geography of England, but it's called the Climatic Research Unit at University of East Anglia.
East Anglia.
It may or may not be near Leeds.
Well, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, do you think there's any fire around the smoke that is starting to seep up about hacking into the phone messages of 9/11 victims' families by the Murdoch organization here in the States? Do you think there's any truth to that?
Well, I wouldn't put it past him, but I haven't looked into it at all. You know, I haven't compared different reports from different sources.
It's just starting to come out, and I don't know where. I think Peter King, who is a Republican representative from New York, was the first one to flesh out the story by suggesting that there might be some truth to it. And he's the one who has requested the FBI to begin investigations.
Yeah, so if there is fire, I would think that somebody, you know, that far on the right would be the one to find it. But the fact that Peter King brought it up doesn't exactly add to the credibility of it for me.
I don't know.
He just hasn't had anything to grandstand about for a while, has he?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a good one. Yeah. All right,
I don't know. Rupert's into so much that there will be something. If it's not that, you know,
yeah,
a lot of dirt is going to get found if there's a proper investigation.
Isn't that the truth? All right, thanks. I appreciate your comments, Reed.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care. You know, all this talk about there's no money for anything, there's no money for anything, there's no money for the Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program, there's no money for poor people, for Medicaid, medical assistance, there's no money for this, there's no money for that. According to Crane's Detroit Business newspaper, the U.S. House has okayed additional funds so that General Dynamics can keep building Abrams tanks. It says the U.S. House late last week passed a defense funding bill containing an additional $272 million for the Sterling Heights, Michigan-based General Dynamics Land Systems to continue production of the Abrams battle tank. The article goes on to say more than 200 Michigan businesses provide parts and engineering services to upgrade older M1 versions of the Abrams tank to the more advanced M1A2 SCP version. The Pentagon this year proposed to halt tank upgrades in 2013 and restart production in 2017. Critics of the proposal said the cost of shutting down tank production ultimately could cost taxpayers $200 million more than just maintaining the upgrades. So, U.S. Representative Sander Levin, a Royal Oak, Michigan Democrat, said, quote, "This is an important victory in the battle to continue tank production. The tank upgrade program is critical to ensuring our troops are protected on the battlefield. It is also critical to Michigan's defense industrial base," end quote. I don't know. Are they using tanks in Afghanistan or Libya or Yemen or Somalia or Iraq? Where are we using tanks? I guess we had a bunch of them in Iraq. Sander Levin, a Michigan Democrat, never saw a defense authorization bill that he didn't immediately have sexual fantasies about. I mean, so many, it's not all Republicans, it's mostly Republicans, but some of these Democrats are, well, like him. You know, isn't it amazing, though, that when it concerns death and destruction and keeping a branch of the murder industry, the U.S. government murder industry going, these filthy bastards, Democrats and Republicans alike, always find some way to find the money. There is no money, isn't that? I mean, that's what we're being told. There's no money for anything. Let's close the parks. Let's stop the infrastructure repair. Let's tell everybody to go home. Let's turn off the... Oh, by the way, there's $272 million here to continue to build Abrams... tank or upgrade Abrams tanks. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these pigs? Devron is calling from Seattle. Hello, Devron. Listening on KPTK. Hello, Devron.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right. Another case of money for war, but no money to feed the poor.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That you know. Old song, same as, or the new song, same as the old song. It never changes.
Yeah. Okay. My topic is, man, I'm a Obama supporter, but I'm just depressed.
Yeah, why?
I'm thoroughly just, you know, I feel like if he is somehow playing chess and the rest of us are playing checkers, I'm like, well, why isn't he teaching us how to play chess then? Or, I don't feel like this is the bargain
mm-hmm.
to have all this stuff put on the table and then all of a sudden he's going to do some signature or, you know, it's all going to be okay. But
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't even discuss like tax hikes or the, you know, for the wealthy. It's just,
well, I know because I still have a lot of friends. I'll be sitting on a stage with some of them this Saturday night who support Obama, who still, you know, a lot of so-called liberals in media. I say so-called liberals because I don't know why anyone who considers themselves to be a liberal in this country would still support Barack Obama. But I know a lot of people still do. And I think part of the reason is it's very difficult to let go once somebody has put you in the trick bag several times. And I see Obama's policies. I mean, you know, anybody can talk the talk. Anybody can. But, you know, can you walk the walk? And so far, Obama, to me, has shown that he cannot walk his own talk. He just can't do it, or refuses to do it, or whatever the reason is. And I know a lot of people who are a lot smarter than I am have tried to speculate and figure out why he has said certain things and then not followed through. Why he, you know, and there can be a simplistic reason, like my reason, which would be he's just another corporate shill. It doesn't make any difference if his presidency is, in fact, in this country anyway, historic because of his race. It doesn't matter. He's still a corporate shill. And that's...
Well, in the words of Gil Scott here, and I, you know, sellout comes to mind for me because, I mean, to me, I feel sold out.
Only,
I feel like my vote was sold.
Well, you may be right, but sellout only in the sense of whether or not Obama was sincere. You know, he said during the campaign that a lot of people would write on him, or the slate that is him, anything they wanted to. And when he started to govern, there might be some surprises. Well, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say it exactly like that. But that, you know, that's what he meant. So, or at least I think that's what he meant. So I understand your disappointment. He was my third choice, like I said. But I did vote for him. And it was a disappointment.
I hear the music, Mike. One love, bro.
Well, say what? Say it again.
I thought I heard some music. I thought you had to go. But yeah, man, I hear you. I'm going to still be here. I'm not going to say I'm not going to vote for him.
I hear you.
I got to stay active here, but I'm disappointed.
I hear you, Devron. I hear you. You're right. That is the music. We got a break. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in.
And if somebody loved me like she do me, she do. Singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Tim McCauley. His message: let's push for term limits for our legislators. Maybe this would cause them to govern rather than to continually campaign. The Founding Fathers did not contemplate a non-productive gravy train. Thank you, Tim, for the sponsorship this hour. And last, we do appreciate it here at the Malloy Program. Steve the Banker in Massachusetts. Hello, Stephen.
How are you?
Well, honestly, a little bit better now that I see the Murdoch Enterprise starting to sink.
Yeah,
it's only temporary. It's only a temporary feeling because, you know, there are other massive problems. But like I said earlier in the program tonight, Murdoch represents so much that is so vile and rotten in the capitalist system. So I just feel good that he's getting his.
It it's scary as to just how deep this may go.
Yeah. Oh.
and how truly involved that industrial complex may be.
Mm-hmm.
And we may find out just a few of the levels, but it's already very scary. I mean, the assassination of that guy that was the original whistleblower.
Is that what you've decided it was?
Is that what I've decided? Yeah. there's just been too many coincidences in our lifetime.
You know, that
have this guy just pop out of nowhere and just, well, I just happened to die this weekend, during the week.
Right. Well, I know, I completely agree with the with the flavor of what you're saying. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but by God, I'm just so sick of pretending that all these suicides are suicides. You know what I'm saying? And now this guy.
Yeah.
And now this guy. So, yeah. Okay.
You know, but I did, and I am sorry, you know, I missed most of the show tonight. I was, I was at, meetings up until only a few minutes ago. I did want to talk about the budget and whatever's left of it.
Uh-huh.
We did talk about it a week or two ago, and I didn't think there was any cavalry at that time. I did not think it was going to be as bad as this. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that it was just going to be total capitulation.
What about these sons of bitches today passing a balanced budget amendment in the U.S. House that is going to go nowhere in the first place? Any amendment to the U.S. Constitution takes years to work its way through 2/3 majority here, 2/3 majority there, all 50 states. I mean, what are these clowns and halfwits doing?
They know it takes 10 to 15 years. Remember how long the
Equal Rights Amendment.
Right, right. And that didn't get through.
And it never did go through.
And never went through, because I think it was Colorado or something. I can't remember the last state that didn't put it through. But I don't know what planet they're on, but I do listen very clearly to what they're talking about and what they're doing. And that's what I'm basing my decisions on,
mm-hmm.
as to what I think they're going to do. I'm following Wisconsin and Minnesota and New Jersey and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my prediction now. This is what I really truly feel. The recall vote of Wisconsin is next on the platter for me.
Mm-hmm.
If, and we're probably going to win 5 out of 6 of those, probably. And if that's on the up and up, if we win 5 out of 6, now we only need 3. But if we win more than 3, my prediction is for the very first time in U.S. history, somebody who loses an election will not leave.
Mm-hmm. How would that happen?
Like it happens in places where that usually happens. You have a military that supports that. You have a state police that support it. You have an infrastructure that supports that. You have a governor who's going to give orders that will support it. I'm telling you, I know it may sound a little whacked out. I don't think it sounds whacked out at all in the universe that we've now experienced. I would have never thought it up until maybe a few years ago, but
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I don't think if they lose, they're leaving. And that will be the answer for the future. That won't be the first and last time. Well, it'll be the first. It won't be the last.
Well, you know, if that happens in the Wisconsin recall, and by the way, one of the Democrats won tonight.
Okay.
And there are 3 more. I don't know what the latest balloting is resulting in, but the Democrat, I'm trying to think of his name, he won by a 2-to-1 margin. The Republicans.
Thank God.
Yeah, the recall on the Republicans, that vote, I think, is next week.
You mean they didn't find. find 50,000 votes all of a sudden?
Well, I think it goes without saying, Steve, that if that happens in this country, this is not Zimbabwe, and if it does happen here, then there's going to be blood in the streets, and it may start out as unintentional blood. I don't think.
I wouldn't count it out. I wouldn't count it out because of all the things that are happening. There is a tremendous amount of things that are happening right now.
That's right.
The guy who owns all the newspapers. You know, that whole thing. I mean, it's so tied to so many people being having an interest in that war thing.
That's true.
Amount of money that they're trying to protect. We're talking trillions of dollars.
If we're not careful, Steve, we're heading for a brick wall of epic proportions. Hey, there's the music. I got to get out of here right now. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you checking in. I'll see you tomorrow night, folks. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.